I want to talk about the terror attack in London first, just to put it in context. There was not really a lot of reaction in the marketplace. Does it say that the market really hasn't done an effective job at discounting geopolitical risk?
No. I think it says something a little bit more unpleasant, which is that these events are becoming increasingly normal. They're sort of being incorporated into the backdrop of daily life in the 21st century, and the market looks through them and understands that although they undoubtedly are human tragedies, they're not economic tragedies.
Michael, it's Rich in Hong Kong. Just to say, yes, why is that the case? Because it was only a few years ago that any such an action like this would have had a profound impact when it comes to the markets. So the markets are essentially investors, as you say, going to see through them now. How did that and why did that change?
Well, because things which are unpleasant and happen again and again, do start to become normal. I mean, if you went back 12 years ago to the July 2005, attack in London, that had a powerful but brief effect on markets. The Madrid bombing, which was utterly shocking, at a human level, did not have a significant impact on markets. And I've been doing business in Tel Aviv for over 20 years and have seen horrific attacks again and again in that city. An equity market and an economy which has found a way through them. So not everything that matters at the human level matters at the level of the market.
So here in the States tomorrow, we have a vote on the bill to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. Is this a proxy for the ability that the Trump administration will have to push its policies through Congress?
Yeah, I think it's the first sort of big test that can actually be sort of looked at on the outside. I mean, we've been of a belief since the election that people got rather too excited about the ability of Washington to make seamless progress. The Republicans have the majority in both houses, but it is something of an outsider administration, which is finding a way to work with an established political party. So it's still complicated.
Early this month, we had a story about you suggesting that you thought that this year was rather a lot, or it reminded you a lot of 1987. Do you still hold on to that view?
Yes, as far as the general pattern's concerned, and what I meant by that was 87 was a year of got off to a very strong start and was really a story about a global economy which was accelerating, and then in the back end of the year things got much more difficult as monetary conditions started to tighten. Now I wasn't predicting all anybody remembers about 87 was the 48 hours around the crash in October, but that wasn't what I was talking about. It's more the pattern that. We have a surprisingly strong start to the year and a surprisingly strong global economy. I do think that by the summertime, central banks globally will be starting to react to that, whether it's just changes to rhetoric or whether it's changes to balance sheets or changes to interest rates. I think we can be open-minded today. But I think this long period of synchronized global monetary easing is coming to a close and is going to be followed by a period of synchronized synchronized tightening, and I think it's reasonable to expect that to be that to provoke a fairly difficult period. Certainly, first of all, in fixed income, and secondly, I think that would spill over into equities at some point this year.
So we had the dollar down for a sixth straight session in New York trading at stronger yen right now with a 111 handle, but the futures on the Nikkei are higher. Is it possible that we're coming to a point now where, as Brian kind of alluded to earlier, you can have a stronger yen and maybe not damage the equity market in Japan?
I think that is possible. Japan, just released favorable year-over-year export numbers for February. And why that's interesting is the yen's exactly where it was, a year ago. I think that certainly within a certain range, I think the Nikkei is capable of ignoring the yen. And that becomes much more true as people start to believe in the idea of global reflation. I mean, Japan is still an export-driven economy. And if there was a feeling that demand outside of Japan was growing for its goods, it can withstand a stronger yen.
Well, absolutely, Michael. And it also depends on whether you see the glass half empty or half full. Buy into the reflation story, but then that is the half full way of looking at things because the other side is protectionism.
Yes, that's a danger. I believe that there'll be again, a lot of rhetoric around protectionism and not a lot of action. You know, I think in this business, you have to take a stand on these issues one way or the other. It's certainly possible that a couple of years down the road, global trade looks much more difficult. But I, you know, again, I think with this window of another 3 to 6 months ahead of us, I think there's you could see a big shift in global opinion back towards the idea that the economy is having its best period globally for, you know, 6-7 years, and people are underweight global risk assets right now.
Banks, very hard hit in the last session. Well, not so much in the most recent session, but yesterday we were hard hit here in New York. I'm wondering whether or not you think that the promise that Mr. Trump made during the campaign about rolling back some of the strict regulations as it affects the banking industry will not come to pass at this point.
You know, I certainly think that a quick repeal of Dodd-Frank, you know, looks off the table. You know, I think the most hopeful thing for the banks is that the regulators become a little bit more generous in the interpretation of the existing regulations. I think that's much more likely to happen than a swift rewrite of regulations. You know, I think the banks are okay. I just think they got ahead of themselves and were used as a sort of political proxy trade. And I think what you've seen over the last few weeks is what I call Trump reflation lose ground to what I would call true reflation. And there is something going on in the global economy. It's much bigger than what's happening in Washington.